I'd like to begin this morning with a question for you. Think back over the last, what you know of the last 1,500 years of Christianity and the Bible, what you know about it. What do you think's been the most popular, well-known verse in the Bible for all those years? Anyone have an idea? Just raise your hand. Sorry? Exactly. Could y'all hear him? John 3:16. And that has been, and most of you could probably quote it for me. Well, I don't know exactly how they decide this, but from what I understand, from what people tell me nowadays, that's no longer the most well-known, no longer the most popular verse in the Bible. It is now Matthew 7:1, thou shalt not judge. And it just tells you a little bit about where our culture is at, that is now the most popular verse in the Bible. At least that's what a lot of people think has become the most popular verse in the Bible. We're actually talking about this morning because someone of you guys asked me to do so. As we were having trouble fitting it into the schedule, and so they actually couldn't make it today. So I'm hoping that we're getting this recorded, and maybe we'll be able to get that message to them as well. But I was asked to talk about this because it's such an issue in the society in which we live, and we do sometimes have a problem with judging. You know, I heard about this two older gentlemen. They still had families, and they lived up in the Ozarks, and there's some misjudging going on, evidently, because they would come, they were separated, their homes were separated by this big river, and their names were Rufus and Clarence. And so every morning, Clarence would come to the edge of the river, and he would shout over, and he'd say, "Rufus, you good-for-nothing, low-down scoundrel, if I could swim across this river, I'd come over there and whoop your butt." And Rufus would yell back, "Yeah, well, Clarence, if I could swim across this here river, I'd come over there and whoop your butt." So for 20 years, they yelled this at one another every morning, until finally the Corps of Engineers came through and they saw this almost impassable river, and so they built a bridge across it, and it was kind of up on the hill. So for the next 5 years, Clarence and Rufus continued to ignore the bridge and still yelled over at one another, until Rufus' wife had enough, and she said, "Listen, y'all been doing that for 25 years, there's the bridge, go across it and whoop his butt." Well, he looked, Rufus looked a little bit nervous for a while, but finally he said, "You know what? I'm going to do it." So he got himself a big old stick, and he marched up to that bridge, and he started across. He got about halfway across when he turned around, and he lit out like lightning, running home, ran into the house, grabbed the gun, crawled up underneath the bed, and aimed it at the door. And his wife said, "What in the world are you doing?" And he said, "Well, I didn't know. She said, "You didn't know what?" "I didn't know." He said, "I got about halfway across the bridge, and I saw the sign. It said, Clarence, 13 feet, 5 inches. He didn't look that big when I saw him across the river." So, misjudged him. Anyhow, please take out your Bible. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. And we're going to read the passage in question and spend the morning. Actually, it's going to be a little bit like a Bible drill. I hope that you're good at looking up things in your Bible, because I want us to look at a lot of passages of Scripture together this morning. It's a very important topic, and looks like we've got plenty of time to cover it. Sit back, kick your feet up, and just trust the Lord. We'll read this and we'll pray together and just ask Him to lead us. Here we go, Matthew 7, starting in verse 1. "Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, And then you'll see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Well, Lord in heaven, we just thank you for your word this morning. And of course, we're going to read in many other places. But Father, as we look at these words of yours, your very own words about not judging one another, I pray, Father, just that you would give us wisdom and insight into what you are talking about here. And Lord, wisdom for our daily lives, for our relationships with one another and with each person that we meet. We just want to be wise in how we live. And so we're just looking to you, Father, and asking you personally for your wisdom and insight this morning. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so this has become a well-known verse. You hear it all the time. Don't judge me. You know, you've got your stuff and I've got mine. Don't mess with me. It's become an issue, really, in our society. This idea actually is so pervasive in our society now that it seems that people think one of the most despicable things I can do is to kind of look into their life and find anything wrong with their life. You know, make any statement whatsoever about their life. It has just become overwhelming. And so what is being talked about here? I mean, it sounds pretty clear. Do not judge, and you won't be judged. In the way you judge others, that's how you'll be judged. It sounds pretty clear. Before we dive into it, I want you to look at some other passages in the Bible, okay? And we're gonna skip around a good bit. So let's start over in the book of Galatians, okay? Right after 2 Corinthians, still in your New Testament. Galatians chapter 6. We're actually going to spend some time here at the end, but I just want to read one verse right now. Galatians chapter 6. I'll give you a moment to get there. Check it out. It's, verse 1 says, "Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted." All right, so I'd like you to notice in that verse that if someone that, I don't know, doesn't tell us exactly what our relationship would be with this person, but at least we know it's someone that we know something about. We have some sort of relationship with them. If they're caught in a trespass, those of us who are spiritual, we'll talk more about that later, but we're to restore that person. Okay, we're not to ignore it. We're not to pretend like nothing happened. We're to try to help. Turn with me, if you would, to James chapter 5. Okay, over further in your New Testament, after the book of Hebrews. James chapter 5. Look at verses 19 and 20 with me. "My brethren, if any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." Wow, I'm supposed to help a sinner turn out of the error of his way. If anyone, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Go back with me to Matthew. Look at Matthew chapter 18. Very first book again there in your New Testament, Matthew 18. This one's pretty clear. Look at verse 15 with me. "If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother." Wow. Pretty clear, right? Matthew 18. Verse 15. "If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. Now, that's the goal, to win my brother back. Of course, the next verse goes on to tell you and start talking with you about what you do if he won't listen to you. And by the way, it doesn't say to just give up. You know, it doesn't say go talk to your brother, and if he says get out of here, it doesn't say leave it there. It doesn't even say leave it there. It says we still have some responsibility. Look, though, with me at one last passage before we go back to Matthew 7, and this is in the Old Testament, Proverbs 27. Proverbs, right near the middle of your Bible, right after Psalms. Proverbs 27. Actually, the Old Testament as well as the New Testament are filled with verses about this, about how important that it is that we try to help one another in this way. But Proverbs 27, look at verses 5 and 6 with me. Better is open rebuke than love that is concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. All right, that's fascinating. Verse 5, better is open rebuke. It's saying it would be better for me to go to my friend, maybe even in public, and tell him about a problem in his life than it would be for me to love him with all my heart and be quiet about it. It's important. And verse 6 goes on to say, faithful are the wounds, of a friend. Very, very important. So go back with me now to Matthew 7. If there's so many things in the Bible that talk about how important it is for me to help my friend, what is Jesus talking about here when he says, do not judge, and you will not be judged? I believe the key, a large key to what he's saying, we already read together, but it's down in verse 5. Okay, Matthew 7, drop down to the end of what we read and look at verse 5. He says, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then, notice this, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Jesus is not saying we're not to judge our brother, we're not to discern and help our brother, right? We are to help our brother. We're just to look at ourselves first. I believe the idea that he's trying to communicate here is we need to judge, but we need to judge without being judgmental. Right? We're not having a condemning spirit. I'd like to read you a statement. This may be one of the longer of my main thought thesis statements, and I don't know if you want to write this down or not, but here's part of what I'd like you to get this morning. My words to others and my attitude towards others must always be tempered by an understanding of their great value to God and my own sinfulness and personal limitations. Okay, I've got issues of my own, and they have great value to God. So Jesus does not want us to be judgmental, as in condemning, but he still wants us to be helpful. He still wants us to help get that speck out of their eye. Sometimes when we're judgmental, several things happen. One of those things is that we devalue people, right? Another thing is that we compare people. Maybe we're comparing them to ourselves, or maybe we're comparing them to one of our heroes, and they fell short, and so we bring judgment down for that reason. Sometimes when we are kind of judgmental, we have our own agenda, right? And we really want things to go our way, and so we're like, you can't be living like this, and really a lot of the reason is for us. And so those are some of the reasons that we're judgmental. I just thought this was interesting. I'd like to read you a poem that I read this week. It's called Don't Judge Too Hard. Pray don't find fault with a man who limps or stumbles along the road unless you've worn the shoes he wears or struggled beneath his load. There may be tacks in his shoes that hurt, though hidden away from view, or the burden he bears placed on your back might cause you to stumble too. Don't sneer at the man who is down today unless you have felt the blow that caused his fall or felt the shame that only the fallen know. You may be strong, but still the blows that were his, if dealt to you in the self-same way at the self-same time, might cause you to stagger too. Don't be too harsh with a man who sins, or pelt him with words or stones, unless you are sure, yea, doubly sure, that you have not sins of your own. For you know, perhaps, if the tempter's voice should whisper as soft to you as it did to him when he went astray, 'twould cause you to falter too. And so, of course, there's the idea that we're talking about here, that we don't want to judge in a condemning way. We want to look at ourselves while we are looking at these folks as well. So there's a lot of caution here, a whole lot of caution about trying to help someone through their problems, about not being judgmental. And of course, what we need to do is we need to go with mercy. You know, we need to look at our own problems and try to understand what we're going through, get rid of the log that's in our eye. When we're trying to help someone, we need to do so with a lot of mercy. I do want to say, though, as we've already been reading the verses, that not only should we have a caution not to be judgmental, but we should have a caution about not getting involved, you know, kind of looking at it from the other angle. I'll just give you an example. I went to my dad once. I didn't actually go to him. We were having a conversation, and we happened to be talking about jury duty. And so I can remember saying to Dad, "Man, I hope I am never on a jury. I would not want that job." I said, "You know, it just frightens me so much that I could actually send a guilty person to jail or to some sort of punishment." And Dad said, "Yes, thank you. That I would send an innocent person to jail, thank you." And my dad said, "That's true, Sam." But he said, "You should be just as frightened that you would let a guilty person go free. Just as frightened." And that's part of the caution here. And as I mentioned earlier, it is a pervasive idea in our society, such a pervasive idea that it's dangerous. Okay, I want to look at a couple more verses. I say we're going to do the Bible drill today, right? I almost wasn't going to use this one, but I really think it's an important one. Turn with me to Psalms 36 first. Middle of your Bibles, book of Psalms, chapter 36. This is where a lot of our world is. And this is a very telling couple of verses. "Transgression speaks to the ungodly within his heart. There's no fear of God before his eyes. For it flatters him in his own eyes concerning the discovery of his iniquity and the hatred of it." Now those verses take a little bit of thought. I'd just like to read them again. "Transgression speaks to the ungodly within his heart. There's no fear of God before his eyes. For it flatters him in his own eyes concerning the discovery of his iniquity and the hatred of it." This verse is saying that sin is tricky, that it's deceptive. Like the sin box that we witnessed this morning. It looks pleasurable, but it's deceptive. And it will catch us unawares. We might think we're the gift of God to humanity, that we are intelligent, that we are able. I know, you know, we just tend to think that we've got it together, most of us. But sin and Satan are tricky. They're tricky. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. We're going to read a little longer passage here. Proverbs chapter 1. And I was saying that there needs to be a caution on the other side of the picture. Not only should we not be judgmental, but here's part of that caution. It's quite a long, involved challenge, caution from wisdom's perspective. Proverbs 1, start reading with me in verse 20. We're just going to read to the end of the chapter, maybe even just without my commenting. I just want you to get the caution that the Bible is sending out here. Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention, and you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. Here's a key verse. For the waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But he who listens to me shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil. Here the Bible says that God is giving us his wise counsel for a reason, and it's to keep us from self-destructing, because sin has that power in our lives to destroy us. And that's why he gives us the counsel that he gives us. And that's why he gives us so many verses about helping one another. And I'm convinced Matthew 7 is not telling us not to help one another. It's just telling us not to be condemning of one another. We're to help one another with the greatest of gentleness, with the greatest of love. And that's where we're going to go. That's where we're going to spend the remainder of our time, is just looking at, okay, if I'm not to be judgmental, how do I do this? How do I help someone that's caught in sin? Maybe they're a friend of mine. What do I do? Go back with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter 5 or 6. Where was it? 6. Galatians chapter 6. And so you can rest your finger now once you get here, because this is where we're going to go through these verses together, and we'll close with these. Galatians chapter 6. Paul's giving us some instructions about how to do this. And don't forget verse 5 of Matthew 7. Jesus said, take the log out of your eye first, then you'll see clearly. Then you'll be able to help your brother get the speck out of his eye. All right, and so just some tips here in Galatians 6, 1 through 5. Is what we're going to read. Maybe we should just read the whole thing and then we'll go back and look at it a little bit at a time. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another, for each one will bear his own load. All right, so it's talking about how we're to help one another mainly. So go back with me to verse 1 and just look at a couple of things with me. First of all, he says, you who are spiritual. If someone's caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual. Now, what's he talking about here? Okay, I don't think he's talking about what you might think. You know, it's like that movie where he says, I don't think that means what you think it means. Sometimes you who are spiritual, in today's language, we think that, you know, we say, well, they've kind of got a spiritual side to them. Okay? That's not what's being talked about here. Someone who's in touch with the spirits or something like that. In context, he's talking about someone who's walking with Christ. In the context of the book of Galatians, someone who's got a relationship with God, someone like a mature Christian, someone who loves the Lord Jesus and wants to honor Christ with their life. That's a spiritual person. Back in Galatians, we talked about the fruit of the Spirit. We talked about walking in the Spirit. We talked about not being under the influence of alcohol, but instead being filled with the Spirit. Okay, so that all that from the previous parts of Galatians draws into this verse telling us who he's talking about here. It's someone who's walking with Christ and someone who's allowing Christ to direct their lives. So this kind of person, if someone's taken in a trespass, find that kind of person and let's go help. All right, you who are spiritual. Number two, you who are spiritual, restore. That's the goal here. Restore this person. Okay, the goal is not to go to this person and beat them over the head with a big stick. The goal is not to feel better about myself. You know, and I've got all these problems in my life, so if I can find something wrong with someone else and go fuss at them about it, then maybe I'll feel better about myself. Right? That's not the goal. The goal is I want my brother back. Like he said in Matthew 18, if he listens to you, you have won your brother. And I've experienced both. You know, I've experienced talking to people and they wouldn't listen. But I've experienced winning my brother back. And let me tell you something. There's nothing like it. You know, when that problem occurs and you get your brother back, there is nothing like it. And that's what he's talking about here. Restore such a one. That is the goal. Keep going on with me. All right, the next phrase, in a spirit of gentleness. Okay, we're doing this in a spirit of gentleness. And we've talked about gentleness several times recently. Actually, I'm hoping that some of you are getting to read the book, The Kindness Challenge, this year. Gentleness, kindness. The lady in that book says, kindness is a superpower. Changes everything. And it is so true. There's actually a verse in the Bible that says it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. His kindness, His gentleness, His patience, all of those things. Of course, we know that ultimately God will judge sin. But in the meantime, He's being patient. And so that's what we must do when we go to help someone. We've got to be patient. We've got to be kind. We've got to be gentle. We cannot go in there acting like, hey, I've got it all together, because they know that's not true. Right? If they know anything at all about me or about humanity, they know I don't have it all together. And so I can't go in there with that attitude. I've got to go in there with the attitude of humility, and I'm willing to help. Okay, I'm going to pray for you. I'll cry with you. I will expend some energy for you. I will help you through this thing, but we do it in a spirit of gentleness. All right? The next phrase, in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Okay, we've already talked a little bit about this, but we have to make sure that we're realizing we have the same humanity, the same fallen nature that this other person does that we're going to help. And so we can be tempted too. You know, I have even heard of people going in and trying to help someone who's struggling with sin, and they end up getting drawn into it, and they're in the same sin. Exact same sin. And so as we go to help someone else, you know, sin's tricky. And so we've just got to be wise, we've got to be careful, we've got to be looking to ourselves and be careful about how we do it. And of course, there's a lot involved in that statement. We could probably have spent a whole message right there on how you do that. We don't have the time to go into that this morning. But we just have to be wise in trying to help other people. All right. And so then the last phrase I'd like you to notice here, especially note here, is in the beginning of verse 2. And it says, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens. So I think a large part of the idea in that phrase is that sin is heavy. You know? People who are involved in it may put on a good front. They may put on a good face. They may say, hey, this is the greatest thing ever. But sin is heavy. And we are to bear one another's burdens. And so, is it easy to go to someone and talk with them about a problem in their life? Absolutely not. You know, especially in our day, when we have this cultural attitude that no one can say anything about me. You know, it's just like this wall. You can just expect the wall to start going up. So it's not easy. You know, it's threatening. You might think, well, they'll end up hating me. But we have to remember verses like we read in Proverbs. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. I should have looked up. There's another verse in Proverbs that talks about how the one who's willing to go to his brother will afterwards be loved more deeply than the one who ignored the problem. Right? If we ignore the problem, we're not helping. And we might think we're just trying to not make waves and all those things, but really we're not helping. We're not helping. So sin is heavy. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ is love one another, right? He said, a new commandment I give to you. And why was it a new commandment? Because he said that you love one another even as I have loved you. In other words, it goes beyond loving one another. We've had that commandment for a long time. Now he's asking us to love one another even more sacrificially, because he loved us enough to lay his life down for us. And so that's the law of Christ, that we care enough for one another to bear burdens and to go to one another and help one another through these issues. So that's what the Lord put on my heart. We ended up going through that pretty quickly. I want to pray about this with you right now, and then maybe if you have thoughts or questions, you can just throw them out and we'll have a little discussion before we do our final song together. Dear Lord in heaven, I just want to thank you for your word. And Lord, I just confess to you that I need to grow in these things. I'm sure as much as anyone else in this room. Lord, I do thank you, Father, that we have your word to direct us. And that you know the answer to these things, Lord, that we are accountable, that we are, in a sense, our brother's keeper. We do not pay for our brother's sins, but we are, in a sense, our brother's keeper. And you want us to go and love and help and bear their burdens. And so, Father, I just ask you that you would come and help us with this matter, that you would help us to love each other this much. And I just ask, Lord, that you would direct us now as we talk about these things. If there are any questions, give us your wisdom and your answers. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.